राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम, राम राम हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालां पंगुं लांगयते गिरिं, यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरु दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरम्। हरे कृष्ण। वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज एंड गेस्ट एंड स्टूडेंट्स हु कम फॉर आवर मंथली यूथ फेस्टिवल प्रेरणा। आई फील वेरी इंस्पायर्ड एंड ग्रेटफुल दैट यू हैव डिसाइडेड टू स्पेंड योर सैटरडे इवनिंग इन हरे कृष्णा टेम्पल। नॉट सैटरडे इवनिंग जनरली मोस्ट पीपल they would be in movie theaters, or I would have been not surprised if on a Saturday evening you would be partying somewhere or at the nearby Chowpatty beach, or maybe nowadays standing in line at the ATMs. So nice that you come here. I am very grateful that you want to understand this subject matter. I'll be sharing with you a few principles and few things about success which I have understood. Now, I want to give a disclaimer. Different people view success differently. Now, my presentation is a result of my own study and observations and experiences over the last, I would say, 7-8 years when I started reading some success literature. And then practicing certain principles have given me some results, and chanting Hare Krishna has helped me in a certain way. So I'm going to share my thoughts, so please hear it with an open mind, and if it helps you, I'll consider my life worthwhile, and if it doesn't, better luck next time. Okay, so what is success? Let us begin straight away. Now, who would like to I want to ask a question. When you hear the word success, who comes in your mind, or what comes in your mind? Anybody? Anybody loudly? Yes. So I'm saying, what, some name or something, what comes to your mind? Success? Huh? Bill Gates. Dhirubhai Ambani. Zuckerberg. Narendra Modi. So all of you have some, immediately some name comes to your mind. Success means some name. Now, I am going to share with you in today's class how you could also attain success based on two things. I am going to share some principles of success, and some principles means some laws which are universal, and some tools or techniques by which you could be successful. Both are different. Which one would you like to hear? Both, if you had a choice. Tools. Everybody wants techniques. Amko tools do, success mil jayega. What is more important, principles or tools? But what do you want? So this is it. All of us have been exposed. What do you want to hear? Tools. What is more important? Principles. Like everybody I meet, bahut acha kiya Modi ji ne, bahut acha kiya, bahut acha kiya. But aap vote denge next time? It's interesting. It's one thing to say what is politically right. Principles are more important. But what we actually want? Techniques to become successful. So we need to understand the difference between the two. Principles are laws. They are universal. Whether you are a Chinese, Indian, Muslim, Hindu, if you follow these principles, you will be successful. And if you violate these principles, you will be a failure. And law and techniques or tools are time, place and circumstance specific. What is a tool for me may not be for you. But I will nevertheless share with you what helps me. But you can discover your own tools. But principles are more important. Because success in our lives, which is cyclical, is very difficult to define. Like for example, for a 3-year-old child, success is if he doesn't urinate in his pants. And when he's 7 years old, success means if he can somehow come back home alone. And when he's 12, 13, success is if he has good friends. And when he's 18 years, he thinks success means I get a driver's license. At 21, his success definition becomes I get a degree. At 26, success means I have a good job. At 33, I have a good family with 2-3 kids. At 45, I have good savings. That is success. At 50, my children are getting settled. I am successful. At 60, if I can still keep my driver's license, then I am successful. At 70, my success is if I still have my friends with me. And at 80, I am successful if I can still come home alone. And at 90, if I don't urinate in my pants, I am successful. So life is a cycle. And somewhere we get lost in our understanding of success. We think immediately the first name, Bill Gates. Why? Money. Dhirubhai Ambani. Money. Fame. Name. I'm not saying they're not successful. But we get somewhere lost. Because we have forgotten which of the two? And what do we remember? Tools. There was a poem when we were kids. Baba, black sheep, have you any wool? Somebody told me recently a new version of that poem. Baba, black money, have you any fool? yes sir, 3 bags, cool. One for the dustbin, one for the drain, one for that great chaiwala who's holding the country's rein. So that is money, that is success. Unfortunately, our definitions have changed, and overnight, in a moment, people's definitions of success have changed. It's so sudden. Somebody told me, look at what Gujaratis are doing to the country. The BJP chief is a Gujarati, the Prime Minister is a Gujarati, RBI chief is a Gujarati, the richest man is a Gujarati. And when Gujaratis come together, the whole of India starts doing Garba dance. And then I told him that corruption is what is being attempted to be removed through this new development. And it was initiated in 2011 by Anna Hazare. He was very active with Jan Lokpal scheme. So he said, yes, our Prime Minister called up Anna Hazare and said, are you happy, Anna Hazare? Immediately he said, no, I'm not Anna Hazare, I'm Anna Do Hazare. Because nobody wants to have anything to do with Hazar Rupiah nowadays. But jokes apart, we need to understand what is success. And to draw your attention on principles versus tools. All of you would like to go back home today with tools, which I may not even share. Because I want you to trust yourself. And I'm confident that you will discover amazing tools, like I have discovered, which has helped me. But I want to share some principles, which are universal. And for that, I would like to tell you 2 small stories. Now, I want to know if you can guess who is this person on screen. Saira Banu. Achha, what else? Any other name? Or kon? Mayawati. What is it? Who is it? Meena Kumari. Yes. One of the greatest symbols of success in India. When she was a small girl, when she was born, she was so poor. Her father was so poor. He bought her and kept her outside an orphanage. Left her there and went away. Because he couldn't afford to even pay the doctor's money. She was few days old and she was lying in the orphanage in the night. And after a few hours, her father felt guilty that he had abandoned his daughter. And he came back and he saw that this baby was covered by all worms and ants. Immediately picked her up and brought her home. And in extreme poverty, he raised her. No money. And somehow he sent her to, instead of school, he sent her to acting. And believe it or not, she became a star. When she was 8 years old, she became a star. And when she was 18, she was a well-known personality in India. She was a star, Bollywood star, Meena Kumari. And she is considered as one of the greatest actresses in Indian cinema. So powerful was her acting and so graceful her movements and her talks that some of the topmost actors like Dilip Kumar, who is considered as the greatest actor in Indian cinema, who has won the maximum awards for acting. Raj Kumar, so many actors, when they would be acting with her, in front of her, they would forget their dialogues. Because she was so commanding, so graceful, so refined. So what is her background? Extreme poverty, not educated, not having any money, and now she is able to shake the whole. All the big actors and producers and directors were trembling in front of her. And thousands of people would come to see her. And when her movie, the famous movie when she acted, Pakiza, got released here at Maratha Mandir, which is just a kilometer away from here, there were thousands of people waiting outside the theater for its release, and there was a police lathi charge. There were riots in Karachi, Amritsar, everywhere this movie was released. She was such a sensation that when she went for shooting with her husband Kamal Amroi and the whole team to Madhya Pradesh, in the night their vehicles, they had to stop at a highway and they were attacked by a band of dacoits, one of the biggest dacoits of Madhya Pradesh, very well known, the police wanted him. He and his gang attacked that group, and this is amazing, they discovered that Meena Kumari is in this group, and the dacoit chief personally entered her tent and she was shivering because he was a very big dacoit. And she got scared. Everybody got scared. Is he going to molest her? Is he going to attack her? And right in front of everyone, he came close to her, removed the dagger from his waist, looked at her straight into the eyes, came close to her. And lo and behold, he gave that dagger in her hand and pulled up his arms and said, "Autograph, please." She was shocked. She was used to giving autographs, but she had never given an autograph like this. He was such a fan. He was crying and pleading, "Please give me autograph." And she gave her autograph. So you can imagine what a charismatic personality, great success. What is her background? So you may say, "Oh, what was it? Give me the tools." Sorry, we'll share principles. Another example. Who is this man? Very ordinary Bengali man. His brother was doing something in Bollywood and he started singing, and today some of the top most successful people in India, some of the top most politicians, industrialists, sportsmen, if you ask them who is their favorite, what is their favorite song, singer, they'll say Kishore Da. Ordinary man but flourishing success. Recently one devotee sent me a message and I asked him, "Are, I have not saved your number. Aap kaun hai?" So instead of telling me his name, he wrote a song, Kishore Kumar song. And he was going through some difficulty, so I thought he will tell me his name. But instead of that name, he said, "Koi hamdam na raha, koi sahara na raha. Hum kisi ke na rahe, koi hamara na raha." And then he gave his name. I said, "Wah, what a way to introduce yourself." Through Kishore Kumar. So I could imagine what a successful man this fellow must be, this person must be, that is influencing even after his death, after 30 years also, people are still haunted by his music, isn't it? So I was also so carried away by that devotee's introduction that just few days ago, in one program, somebody asked me, "Aap 20 saal se Hare Krishna mein, aap agar kal bimar pad gaye, aapke kuch paisa nahi hai, bank nahi hai, kuch hai, ghar nahi hai, aap kaise rahenge?" So spontaneously, I had not planned this. Spontaneously, mere muh se kya nikla? मुसाफिरों यारों ना घर है ना ठिकाना, मुझे बस चलते जाना है. एंड व्हेन आई सेड इट आई वाज आल्सो इंप्रेस्ड, वाह क्या इंपैक्ट है ये आदमी का, कि इतना भागवतम पढ़ने के बाद भी याद आया. सो द पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू से इज दैट सक्सेस कैन बी सो इंटेंस, सो इमेंस, दैट देयर कैन बी अ ह्यूज जनरेशन ऑफ पीपल जस्ट फॉलिंग इन लव विद यू. देयर इज नो एंड टू योर सक्सेस. सो आई आस्क यू टुडे, ऑल ऑफ यू असेंबल्ड हियर, what do you really want? If you want tools, because what is success for Kishore Kumar, what worked for Meena Kumari may not work for you. But what they applied in their lives, the principles, or what they failed. Right? They must have failed to practice some principles, or they must have practiced some principles. Wouldn't that be a better discovery? Because when I think of success, I don't think of Bill Gates. I mean, he is successful. I'm not denying it, definitely. I don't think of Sachin Tendulkar. Although Sachin Tendulkar is very successful, it's not easy for 24 years to play under pressure and not become a victim of greed. Be very grounded, very family man, very sober, very modest, humble. Not easy. He is definitely successful. But when I think of success, I immediately think of my grandparents. I think of my father. I think of my school teacher. Don't you think they could also be successful? Or only you have to be haunted by media, camera should be flashing? Should you be interviewed for you to be successful? Should you be coming on the headlines of all newspapers for you to be successful? What do you think? If a child can be given by her or his parents three things, then the parents are very successful. If the parents can give unconditional love, second, if they can give excellent education, and third, happy experiences, the child will grow to be a wonderful human being. And who's responsible for that? His parents. And his parents are Aam Aadmi Party. they are natural, they are simple, ordinary folks. But can't they be successful also? Sometimes people say success matlab karm karte raho, karm karo phal ki chinta mat karo, Bhagavad Gita, they tell me. So I tell them karm karo, but chor bhi karm karta hai, terrorist bhi karm kar raha hai, to is that success? So what is success? There has to be certain universally defined principles. So I want to share with you three principles which are extremely critical for developing a successful life. You know, one man told me after my seminar, I was in Bahrain recently, and I was giving a lecture to an audience where there were even Pakistani people. And it was interesting. One man said, success means when I'm dying. Generally, when people are dying in old age, they recall their whole life, what has happened. So he said, as I'm dying and recalling my whole life, all the events of my life, if I can smile remembering them, then I am successful. It's very difficult. It's very difficult. And this is possible if we have practiced few principles. And this is the first principle. What is it? Clarity. What does clarity mean? Understanding. Understanding what I want, who am I, what is my relationship with this world, with God. And along with clarity, some people have high clarity. They know what I want. They're very focused. Along with clarity, there is another principle. What is that? Second, contribute. Means living a life for others. A life of service. We can leave behind a legacy. Now Hitler, Adolf Hitler, had a lot of clarity. You know that? Have you read Mein Kampf? He says, very clear, he knew what he wanted. And he exterminated so many Jews. And he was convinced that he is contributing. He said, this is a service. But he lacked on the third principle. One of the three principles are violated. And what is the third one? Connection or accept or appreciate. Which means, connection means, you know, right now as I'm speaking to you, I'm trying to connect to you. Connect means there is a certain positivity, there is certain love, there is certain energy which is binding all of us together. And when we connect to each other, when we connect to that energy, then we become an instrument of positive change in the society. And that requires us to accept ourselves the way we are. That requires us to accept others, love them. Generally, you will see most people are suffering in the relationships because they want to be perfect themselves and they want the other person to also be perfect. This obsession with perfection makes them miserable. At some point of time, we need to accept the way we are. We need to accept others for what they are and appreciate and move on in life. So these are the three. What are the three principles? First, clarity means to know what I want. And then not selfishly act for it, but also contribute to others' welfare. And while contributing to others' welfare, what do? We also connect to them. And these three principles help in succeeding with ourselves, and it also helps in succeeding with others in relationships. So I call upon this wonderful assembly of youth that let us try to work on these three principles rather than some tips or techniques. You read success literature, you will find a lot of techniques. Okay, when you are dealing with someone, remember his name. Remember his birthday. Send him a birthday card. These were all techniques. But if you really connect to someone, then you don't have to really try to remember his birthday. Abraham Lincoln, he said a very beautiful statement. He said, if somebody gives me 6 hours to chop down a tree, he said, I will spend 5 hours sharpening the axe. Because the principles or the foundation is what is more important. And now, having understood these three principles, let us revisit the story which I told you. What are that story? Two stories. First one. So Meena Kumari and Kishore Kumar. Meena Kumari, when she was a young 17-18 year old girl, one man, Kamal Amroi, who was already married, he already had a son who was just 1 year younger to Meena Kumari, he wooed her, proposed to her, trapped her in his love, and she agreed to marry him. And she was now a rising star, and she was such a powerful actor that Filmfare Awards during those days was the only award given for acting. And generally in the Best Actress Award, there are 5 nominations and one of them gets the award. And in one particular year, all the 5 nominations were for Meena Kumari. That was the power she had, that was the appeal she had. But her husband was a compulsive, obsessive husband who had made strict rules for her that she should just go home after the shooting, and from home she should just go for shooting. She had a bodyguard who would ensure she doesn't go here and there, doesn't talk to anyone else. She became choked up. And she started feeling abused in the relationship, but she was helpless. She wanted love, but no love. Then there was another actor who promised her, who gave her some love. She tried to be friendly with him, and her bodyguard stopped her and slapped her. It became ugly. She refused to go home. And then came this most historical landmark movie in Indian cinema called as Sahib, Bibi or Gulam, where she portrays Choti Bahu, a lady who is an alcoholic, a compulsive alcoholic. And what an irony. Meena Kumari is called as the tragedy queen of Indian cinema, and during the shooting of that movie, she actually got addicted to drinking because she wouldn't get sleep, and one of her friends suggested, why don't you try a little brandy? And that little became little more, and eventually she became a compulsive alcoholic, and eventually her livers and kidneys started deteriorating. Meanwhile, she had 3-4 more relationships. And then there was a big screening of a big movie in a theater where the governor, chief minister, they were all there and they were being introduced to Kamal Amroi and Meena Kumari. And the chief minister was being told, this is Meena Kumari, the legendary actor, and this is her husband, Kamal Amrohi. And immediately he said, no, I am Kamal Amrohi, and this is my wife, Meena Kumari. And he walked out in anger, and it became a big news that they are not getting along well. And as the relationship deteriorated, as her movies were becoming successful, her health was deteriorating. And finally, this lady whose autograph the great dacoit king wanted, the whole India wanted to meet her, when she died in 1973, it was just 2 kilometers from here at Elizabeth Nursing Home, which is near Teenbatti, Malabar Hill. She died alone, with nobody beside her. She had become big, fat, whole kidney had failed, and she had, believe it or not, no money. And one of the producers had some money pending to give her. He arranged for the final cremation. This is a real life story. What went wrong? What did she want in life? She wanted to connect. She wanted to study. If she had worked on these 3 principles, she would have been happy. Maybe she would not have been a very famous actor. Kishore Kumar. Now, what I told you, the story of Meena Kumari, this is by Mr. Vinod Mehta, who died last year. He is the founder of Outlook magazine. So he had written a book on her life story. And Kishore Kumar, you can read about him. His last interview was taken by Pritish Nandi. And he writes that the saddest man in India right now is Kishore Kumar. He was, during his last days, in an extremely lonely condition. All his songs would give hope to so many, but he was personally miserable. Outside his house, he had put a door, a notice, just like we write, beware of dogs, kutton se saavdan. Outside one house, I saw one board which was written, beware of dogs. And somebody had scribbled next to it, the dog is fine, beware of the master. But outside Kishore Kumar's house, he had himself written, beware of Kishore Kumar. And when somebody would come to his house sometimes, he would just grab that person and bite his arm. And he would act very eccentric. And he died at a very young age. Young age means 50s, early 50s. Extremely sad. Madhubala, one of the greatest actresses. Top Hollywood directors would come to see her. And she died a very painful, alone, miserable death. And just few years ago, Santa Cruz, where her coffin, where her body was buried, they had to remove it because new bodies keep coming, right? Gone. So all the big name, fame, everything is gone over a period of time. So we want name, we want fame, we want success, we want money. So we say that there's a saying that, yes, a person, a fellow who has no money is indeed poor, but somebody who has only money is actually more poor. This is the reality. And unfortunately, this is the story of all the so-called successful men who have not lived by, what are the 3 principles? Clarity of what they want, not contributing positively, and not being connected to themselves and to God. Aurangzeb. Aurangzeb is a classic example. 1620 to 1709 he lived. He was, according to all historians, the most wealthiest man on the planet during his time. Wealthiest man. An unparalleled empire. His historian Stanley Wolpert writes how his treasury was stinking. So much wealth. Richest man on the planet. And last 27 years, he spent miserably wasting all that money trying to enter Maharashtra, and the resilient Marathas defied, and he couldn't penetrate, and at the age of 89, he died a miserable death on the arms of his 3rd son Azam, and while dying he told him, who am I? What have I done? I came alone. I am going as a stranger. And he cried, miserable death. And as soon as he died, all that empire he had established fell like a pack of cards. And his legacy got wiped off with utter contempt for all his Herculean achievements. They just dissolved. This is the power of time. This is what happens to all the successful people whom the media glorifies, if they are not grounded on principles. See, if we focus on techniques, our success would be very, very shallow. Because if you are successful in this world, you will have a lot of friends. Your friends will know you. But there is a saying, in prosperity, your friends know you, and in adversity, you know them. And many people think, if I have money, if I have fame, I'll get love. This is the biggest illusion. If you think, if I'm successful, people will love me, sorry. If you have a lot of money and success, people don't love you. People simply, either they are fearful of you, or they try to exploit you, or they try to get close to you for their own ulterior motive. And some people even become your enemies. They try to compete with you. And if you actually become a crorepati, a devotee may look at you with compassion, pity you. So when a devotee sees a big crorepati, he doesn't say, wow, crorepati hai, iske paas jayenge. He doesn't think like that. When a devotee sees a big crorepati, what he says? Bechara crorepati hai. He thinks like that. Sabka definition hi alag hai, success ka. Anyway, so we will focus on this principles. Clarity, first, second, contribution, and third, connect. You know, one man, he was telling me that, Prabhuji, my wife, you know, so much I'm trying to understand her. She's so unreasonable. I just can't understand her. So, husband and wife fight. You know, it's common, right? So he was constantly complaining. I just don't understand her. And as he was telling me, and I was listening to him for almost 15 minutes, you know, my wife, and when I tell her all the, and she tells me all the problems, and then when I hear, I tell her, see, this is the solution, and then immediately she gets angry. She says, I don't want solution, I want you to listen to me. Ye kya Prabhuji, koi had hoti hai? I just can't understand her. So as he was saying, I stopped him. I said, just one second. You know, you are telling me you don't understand her, but do you understand yourself? And immediately was taken aback. He said, what? I never thought like that. I said, yeah, do you really know who you are and what you need to do in this relationship with your wife? And you should not purchase some problems which belong to her. Are you grounded? This was an eye-opener for him. And also for me as I was exploring this discussion. Because I met one marriage counselor because I was doing a program for young married couples and about to be married couples. And because I'm a brahmachari, I was telling this marriage counselor, a professional marriage counselor who's been in this field for almost 40 years. I told him, can you come and address our youth? He stays in Vile Parle. So I said, can you address our group of young couples? He said, okay, fine. We fixed up a date. And he said, what do you want me to speak? I said, can you please explain to our young couples how to understand each other and how to be happily married? So he heard me. He said, you know, Swamiji, I'll tell you one thing. I am married to my wife for 42 years now. And I don't think we have understood each other. And then he said, and so you want me to speak about happily married? Either you are happy or you are married, no? How can it be both? And then we laughed, and then we joked, and then of course he gave a good talk, but people were happy. But there was a very significant point he was making, the take-home message was, don't have false expectations from this world. You don't expect the other person to understand you, because no human being can understand you completely. Because you are unique. Aapke jo jazbaat hain, aapke jo feelings hain, only God can know. You may get frustrated. Why the hell doesn't he understand me? Why the hell doesn't she understand me? She won't. He won't. Because aap unique hai. You are the most unique person in this world, just like everybody else. Everybody is unique. So what happens is we get frustrated because we want the others to understand us. Why not spend some time trying to connect to ourselves, connect to God, get some clarity, and then give ourselves to others to understand them and contribute to their well-being? Isn't that a better deal? Many times people come and ask me, "Acha Prabhuji, how can I improve my concentration in studies? Okay, how can I lose weight? How can I improve my relationship?" So whenever this how question comes, I put a googly. I ask them why. When they ask me, "How do I lose weight?" I say, "Why do you want to lose weight?" Socha hi nahi hota hai bahut logon ne. Prabhuji, how to earn money better in shorter time? Immediately, why do you want to earn money? Nahi, Prabhu, sab karte hai na? Nahi. Why we you want? Prabhu, how to lose weight? Why do you want to lose weight? Just ask this question. Whenever you think of how, go one step back. Why? Kabhi-kabhi na, arrow wo shoot, if you want the arrow to go really fast and penetrate a hard wood, you put it on the bow and you take it back. Aisa lagta hai ki, arrow to aage jana chahiye. But the further back you take, and then you release, it goes with great speed and accuracy. Similarly, just don't rush to do things in life. Pause. Thoda piche jao. How nahi? Why? So this may appear a little vague. I know. This may appear a little vague, like the protagonists in the drama were saying. No. And as they came to the conclusion that yes, Bhagavad Gita teaches us this. Spend some time in self-reflection. People want to help others. They want to be like, some people are glorifying Modi. Last 3 weeks, I have met people who are really appreciating Modi, and I have met people who are really criticizing him. So, we want to do something. We want to be revolutionary. We want to do big things. But before saving the world, spend time getting clarity on yourself. There is a saying, before you save others from drowning, you have to become a proficient swimmer yourself. First, learn swimming, right? Can you save others from drowning if you are yourself not a proficient swimmer? So let us learn swimming. And let us spend some time understanding. It won't take much time, friends. Just spend some time daily or once in a week pressing the pause button of your life and asking, where am I going? What am I doing? And why I am doing? Otherwise, our plight will be like this person who entered this local train. It's a very special local train. In Mumbai, my experience is no lectures are complete without reference to the local train, which carries 15 million people every day, and hundreds of people choked up in one compartment. So once, imagine, you enter a local train which is as crowded as this. And by chance, by some miracle, unimaginable miracle, you get a seat. And that too, you get that fourth seat, There are three people can comfortably sit. And the fourth one has half bine. Just few centimeters to park your bottom. Somehow you can just sit like this. And imagine you get that seat and you are sitting in such a crowded local train. And then you ask a person next to you, "Bhai sahab, ye train kahan ja rahi hai? Where is this train going?" If you just ask him. And imagine he looks at you and says, "Pata nahi." Won't you be surprised? And then imagine you ask him the second question, "Acha bhai sahab, aapko pata nahi hai train kahan ja rahi hai? Acha koi baat, aap kahan ja rahe hai? Church gate, Dadar, aap kahan ja rahe?" And imagine he looks back at you and says, "Me? Where I am going? I don't know." So imagine the first two questions, this is the answer you get. Won't you be bewildered? And then you ask the inevitable third question. "Acha, aapko pata nahi hai train kahan ja rahi hai? Aapko pata nahi aapko kahan jana hai? To aap train mein chade kyun?" And imagine he tells you, "Wo kya hai na, wo pura main bahar khada tha, itna public andar ja raha tha, main bhi chala gaya." Now if somebody gives you this answer, what will be your conclusion about that man? Don't tell me, you think. And then ask, let us ask ourselves, are we like this man also? आप क्या कर रहे हैं? CA, क्यों? CA मतलब complete आराम? नहीं? क्यों? पता नहीं, सब कर रहे हैं. MBA, क्यों? नहीं, बेकार आए. PhD, permanent head damage. What are you doing? Why are you doing? Everybody is doing. Everybody is doing. Everybody is entering the local train, so you also enter. Imagine if flying on a plane, the pilot announces from the cockpit, "Ladies and gentlemen, good news. We are flying at 1,000 miles per hour. Very good news. But we don't know where we are going." If the pilot announces like this, what will be your reaction? This is our situation. We are going at great speed, catching the local train in the morning, rushing to office, earning money, becoming manager, senior manager, vice president, director, going full speed. But where is the plane going? That I don't know. See, there is no clarity, then our lives will be extremely shallow. And the world may think we are successful, but we would feel a complete failure. Therefore, I repeat these three principles for success. First is, clarity means understand. Second, contributing to others' welfare. And third, connect. Connect means be an instrument of love. Now some people say, you know, this is okay, Prabhuji, but let us be practical. How do I get clarity? Abhi aap bol rahe ho, we should have clarity, but I don't know how. I don't have clarity on how to get clarity. Kuch technique chahiye. See, there are different techniques. You can start by praying, chanting, so many things you could do. But I want to ask one simple thing. Imagine, khuda na kare, but imagine you die. Hey, example ke liye, aap aisa socho. So this is a dead body on the screen. Okay? Who is dead? Let us imagine we have died. I have died. Okay? So you have died, and next week there is a memorial, get together, where all your friends and relatives come and they talk about you. Ki mar gaya tha ek hafta pehle. Abhi sab aa gaye. Aapke dost. Aur aapke bare mein, aapka photo lagaya hai bada, aur aapke bare mein baat kar rahe hain. Aur aap kidhar hain? Haan? Kidhar? Photo. You have died, but something interesting, your soul is gone above the chandelier. And you are watching the whole event now. They don't know you are watching. You are watching. And they are all speaking about you, who died 1 week ago. So now, on above the chandelier, you are watching this incident, event. What would you like to hear about yourself? Because they are going to talk about you. What would all of us like to hear? Good things. बहुत अच्छा आदमी था, बहुत help करता था, बहुत मेरे को time दिया, बहुत प्रेम करता था. These things we like to hear. बहुत, he was very kind, he was very friendly, he was very helpful. You like to hear these things? Today you go home and do an exercise. If I were to die, and if there is a get together, what would I like to hear? And then you write down those things. And then ask yourself what you are doing right now in your life which is consistent with this, what you really want. And you will realize there is a big difference. You want to be remembered as a person who is helping people, but right now you have no time for people. You will realize, baap re, toh bahut bada difference hai. It's a big dichotomy. Well, this is called begin with the end in mind. Let us begin understanding or being prepared for the final exam, death. Then we'll get some clarity. Kya chahiye? Another problem with people is, along with clarity, is lack of clarity is one. There is also a very deep subject matter on which we could have another whole lecture on it in itself. It's called acceptance, lack of inability to accept themselves for who they are, inability to accept others. Always living in guilt. You know, people hate themselves.
they suffer because of this. Relax, you are unique, Baba, no problem. Aap acche ho, gaali mat do.
And history is replete with examples. Sometimes, if you are not good compared with another person, don't compare with him. Focus on your own strengths. Classic example is Karna and Dhritarashtra from our scriptures. Karna was in the same Gurukul as Arjuna in Dronacharya's Gurukul. But Karna was ambitious. According to Mahabharata, he wanted to learn Brahmastra. Dronacharya said, "No, child, you are not ready for this." He was so ambitious and he was so competitive. He said, "I will go to a better guru and show you that I am better than Arjuna." He was Arjuna conscious. And historically in the Mahabharata, repeatedly it was proven to Karna that Arjuna is better than him. But he just couldn't accept it. Arjuna and Bhima single-handedly, with simply tree trunks, they defeated Duryodhana and party, including Karna, during the Draupadi Swayamvar. It was a clear signal to Karna that Arjuna and Bhima are very powerful. Later on, during Drupad's capture as Guru Dakshina for Dronacharya, Duryodhana and his entire party, including Karna, they were defeated by Drupada. And then, when Pandavas went, the five of them, they easily captured Drupada. This was another instance when Karna got an indication that Arjuna is better. And third time during Agyatvas, Arjuna single-handedly defeated Bhishma, Drona, Karna and the whole company. So Karna was always focusing, even when he was giving charity, his focus was what I can get to defeat Arjuna. Arjuna conscious. This is enemy-centered life. Arjuna, on the other hand, was focusing on his self-improvement. What happens generally, we live in denial. We don't accept the way we are. We hate ourselves, but it masquerades as a victim card we play. Oh, injustice is being done to me. Dhritarashtra is a classic case. Not qualified to be king, but he was wanting to be the king through Duryodhan. So he was enjoying the kingdom. How? When Duryodhan is enjoying, I am enjoying. This is called extended sense gratification. I can't enjoy, just like Indian cricket team. How many people enter? 11. But there are 1 billion people who want to be there, but they can't. So when Virat Kohli is batting, the young boy thinks, I am batting. When he is successful, I celebrate. When he fails, I mourn. Because the sense of identification is very strong. When India won the World Cup in 2011, Indian cricket players were amazed. Many people did not congratulate them. They were thanking them. Thank you, jeet gaya. Very strange. Why thanks? Matlab, main jeet gaya, hum jeet gaye. India, you are carrying the burden of the nation, Sachin Tendulkar was told. You are carrying the burden of the nation for 24 years. Acha? I didn't know that. 24 years is carrying the burden of the nation. So what I'm trying to say is, what happens to us? We can't enjoy, so we enjoy through others. That is called extended sense gratification. So Dhritarashtra could not accept the fact that he is not qualified to be a king and his son is wicked. So instead of stopping his son, he was secretly encouraging his son because that is the way he was drawing his pleasure. And Karna had an opportunity. He could have become like Vibhishan. Dhritarashtra could have been like Yudhishthir Maharaj. Vibhishan also knew. Karna knew Duryodhana is on the side of Adharma. But he couldn't leave Duryodhana. Vibhishan made that choice. Vibhishan could also have said, no, my brother, I won't leave him. Karna could have sacrificed his friendship for Dharma. But he didn't. Vibhishan took that call. Yudhishthir Maharaj had such a magnanimous heart, so much richness of the heart, so much acceptance of self, that he could forgive the man who tried to kill him. After the Mahabharata war, Dhritarashtra embraced Bhima. He wanted to crush Bhima. Fortunately, at the right time, Krishna put an iron statue. And Dhritarashtra crushed that statue. Imagine that would have been Bhima. But still Yudhishthira was so magnanimous. Chalo. Gave him shelter. So if you are rich within, if we are connected, if we accept others, if we appreciate life, if we appreciate others, and if we actually feel that richness, we won't be insecure. Like one man I met, his son was playing. I said, "Beta, bada hoke kya banega?" He said, uncle, main na train ka driver banunga." So I asked his papa, "Beta, train ka driver banega?" "Are nahi, usko to main doctor banaunga." So I said, "Aapke bete ko doctor banayenge aap? Kyun?" "Kya hai na Prabhuji, main doctor nahi ban paya. To main isko to bana ke rahunga." "But usko to train ka driver banna hai." "Nahi nahi, wo samajhta nahi hai, par wo main banaunga usko." So of course that's a good desire, that you want your son to be a doctor, not bad. But imagine as he is growing up, let's say he wants to do arts, he wants to study economics. Agar pita bolta hai, "Nahi, kya bannega?" "Doctor." So what is that father doing? He is acting like which example? Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam that 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra, today there is a Dhritarashtra in every house. Srila Prabhupada writes like that extended sense gratification. Who is this man you see on the screen now? He is a legend, isn't he? Why is he a legend? Fastest man on the planet. The most glamorous event in an Olympic is what? The final 100 meters race. World champion, Olympic champion, 3 times gold medalist. He is a legend. There has been nobody like him from Jamaica, West Indies. And you know, when he was a young boy, who was his hero? He wanted to be like whom? Sachin Tendulkar and Shane Warne. And he used to dream, "One day I will see Sachin Tendulkar. One day I will meet Shane Warne." So, he grew up wanting to become a cricket player like Sachin Tendulkar and Shane Warne. He used to dream that I will bat like Tendulkar and I will bowl like Warne. So, one day he was playing in his school and his coach had said, "Okay, bowling karo." So he came running to bowl and he threw the ball. Coach said, "Hey, 1 minute. Tum bowling bekar karta hai, par achha bhagta hai. Thoda bhago. Par achha." Then he started running. "Oh, bhaga to aisa bhaga. Itna gold medal mil gaya." He became a legend. So when I read his story, I was thinking, if he was born in India, what would have happened? Even if he wanted to be an athlete, his parents would have said, "Nahi, beta achha bhagta hai, tu bowling kar. Bowling kar. Cricket player ban. Cricket player ban. I couldn't be Sachin Tendulkar. You become." So what happens is, we are not able to accept ourselves. We are not able to accept others for what they are, for what they could do. And we live our lives based on others. Others are parameters of success. Let us know that we let us accept ourselves. Let us know that we are alone in this world, but not lonely. Let us remove the guilt. And if you want to feel rich, you can do an exercise today, right? One page about something good about yourself and see how nice you feel. So let us start accepting ourselves, and then you will see depression will never come to you. You know, Sachin Tendulkar, when he was a young boy, 18 years old boy, they were playing in Australia. And Craig McDermott was bowling. And Tendulkar was a young boy hitting him for 4-6, scored a brilliant century. And Australians are very famous for sledging. And all these big guys came and started hurling abuses at him. And Tendulkar was completely unaffected, completely focused. Jesus, batting kiya, 148 banaya. So McDermott came and told him, he gave some swear words. He said, "Next match in Perth, I'll destroy you. I'll get back at you." And next match at Perth, Tendulkar batted even better. And he scored another century. And all of them were big people. In age also, in career also, they had played more matches. So finally, Dean Jones and others told Alan Border, who was the captain. Alan Border had scored the maximum runs in cricket. They told him, border, this boy is going, this kid will break all your records. This was in 92 they had predicted. Because why? Tendulkar was happy batting. No tension. Focus karne ka, gali wali do, kuch bhi karo, no problem. I am just focusing, I am doing what I can do. Same Tendulkar, as time passed, in 2011, after India won the World Cup, media bore ho gaya. Abhi media wanted something, some sensation to create. Abhi kya karne ka? Achha, Tendulkar ka 99 hundreds ho gaya. 100th hundred hoga kya? This became the talk of the town. So every time he would go to bat, now he will score 100. And this became such a pressure that Tendulkar, who scored on an average 5 centuries every year, it took him almost 2 years to score 1 century. 100 he could not score. So many times he got out on 90s. 80s. Pressure got him, and this is to greatness of Tendulkar, that he is so humble, that he admitted that everybody was pressurizing him for his 100th, that one day in Bandra at his house, his Kamwali bhai told him, Saab, aapka 100 kab hoega? So he was under so much pressure, and finally did it, and India lost that match. But it is to his greatness that he survived that ordeal. Same young Tendulkar, when he was a young boy, not affected by sledging, but the pressure. See what happens, you know, the pressure gets you. Therefore, from beginning, if we accept ourselves the way we are, and if we engage in our duties and in our passions and in our sports and in our job and in our devotional service, naturally, happily, accepting the way we are, we'll be happy and successful. Fortunately, Tendulkar was grounded very well. But unfortunately, another athlete, Cathy Sexton, British swimmer, she was a world champion in swimming. The pressure got her. And eventually, will she get gold medal again? Will she get gold medal again? She just buckled under pressure and she went into massive depression. It took years for her to come out of depression, and recently she's come out of depression, and now she's also very humble. Now she says, I want to help the younger generation. Her only goal in life is to ensure that young boys and girls don't get into depression. She's on a big campaign, helping people. Relax, accept yourself. Gold medal is not everything. She says, if I had just done swimming because I love swimming, maybe I would have got more gold medals. But I'm always thinking, will I get gold medal? Will I live up to others' expectations? Arre chodo, 100 century nahi hota, kya problem hai? Batting karo, khushi se. I know it's easy for me to speak all this, but the principle is, please understand, the principle is what? These are the three principles. We'll summarize again. Can put the principles on screen? So, this is the point. So, this is one of the main themes of today's class. Let us have a life of purpose. Many times people, you know, we get confused. We think success means happiness. Just happy row. Just get money, just be happy. Sorry. Whenever we talk about happiness, most of us are thinking about pleasures. There is a difference between pleasure and contentment. Srimad Bhagavatam describes, Taseva heto prayate tako vido na labhyate yad brahmatamu paryada talabhyate dukha vadanyata sukam kale na sarvatra gabhira ramasa. Narad Muni in the first canto of Bhagavatam says that if you really want to work hard, if you really want to do something in life, try to get that which you cannot get in this world. And that's not happiness. Because happiness and misery in this world you will anyway get without asking. Is there anybody here who prays to God, oh God, let me fail in exam? But fail nahi hote kabhi kabhi. Hote na? Does anybody pray here that, God, let my house catch fire? Did anybody pray here that, you know, let my 500 rupee, 1000 rupee become valueless? Ho gaya na par. We don't pray, but it happens. Do we pray that, let me meet with an accident? But accidents happen. Similarly, without asking, we get misery. Bhagavatam says, without asking, we'll also get. Why? Because in this world, it's always kabhi kushi, mostly gum. Not kavigam. So that is the package. That is the package deal. So Bhagavatam says, why are you worried about all this simple, petty happiness and misery? In fact, Vedic scriptures say, if you want to be miserable, what you should do? start looking for happiness. Vedic life, Vedic culture is not for seeking happiness as much as it is seeking for a life of purpose. A life where we are connected to ourselves and we contribute to others' well-being. Because when we only think selfishly about our pleasures, then what happens is we become more and more miserable. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko nate sukam vanyaditaramam va vindeta bhuyatate eva dukham nayatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. When Maitreya Rishi is instructing Vidura, he tells him a very amazing paradox which is applicable 5000 years ago and even today. He says everybody in this world is working hard for what? Sukha. Sukhaya karmani. Sukh ke liye karma karte hain. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. Sare log sukh ke liye karma karte hain. So what we think, in this world there is a scale of happiness and misery. From 0 to 10, happiness, and minus 10, niche misery. We are in minus 5. We want to be happy. We want to be in the positive axis. And we work hard. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. We try to go up. But what happens? Nate sukham va nyaditaramam va. We don't go on the positive axis. So we think, theek hai yaar, minus 5 se positive axis mein nahi aa rahe, to kam se kam 0 pe aa jate. At least let me get some peace. Most people in this world, when they talk about happiness, what their meaning is relief from suffering. Like aap bahut garmi lag raha hai bahar, when you come inside AC room, you feel relief, right? But after 2 hours, is that relief okay for you? You want more. So most of the happiness we experience is relief. So Bhagavatam says, isse khush mat raho. So what happens to us? We seek positive happiness, wo nahi milta, then we want relief. Then Bhagavatam says, wo bhi nahi milta. Na te sukam va niditaramam va. Then what happens? Vindeta bhuya tateva dukham. You get more dukha. Matlab minus 5 se upar jane ka try kiya. Kya hua? Minus 10 pe aage. So this is the plight of this world. Therefore, let us not get bothered by these petty pleasures, because pleasure is dependent on senses. Happiness is deeper. So therefore, let us look at success in terms of a richness of the heart, the ability to contribute, not in terms of money. Rich people and poor people, you ask any one of them, will money bring you happiness? Both will admit. Everyone will admit, money doesn't give you happiness. Rich will immediately admit, money can't give you happiness. But poor fellow, what he'll say? Yeah, he also will agree, rich, money cannot give happiness, but I want some money to experience how it cannot give happiness. He also knows. But it is a fact. People say, you know, in the drama they were saying, na baap bada na bhaiya, sabse bada rupaya. That time I remembered that there is a saying, money talks. And what is the most famous word that money talks? Goodbye. Money always says bye-bye to you. Whoever you are, how much ever you earn, you know, you can't always have money with you. So let us lead a life of contribution. And when you are rich within, centered on spiritual practices, then, you know, ek duniya ka jo chota victory, koi aapko hero banaya, nahi banaya, camera ne flash kiya, nahi kiya, it doesn't matter. A classic example is this cricket player. I want to know if you know his name. Who is this cricket player? Dilip Vengsarkar, acha. Aur koi? Let's see who can guess this name. Srinath, Javed Mehandad, are wah. Aur kaun? Okay, now I'll tell you, he is one of the greatest Indian cricket players who has a unique record. Whenever he has scored a century, India has never lost a match. Prabhakar, Gavaskar, Gavaskar toh nahi, Gavaskar toh bahut, so alag story hai, bolta hun. Okay, now let me tell you the name. Nobody guessed it. Sidhu, nahi. Kaun hai? Okay. Srinath. What is the name? Srikant. Srinath, nahi. Okay, now put the name on the screen. Have you heard his name? Gundappa Vishwanath. He is a very one of the best Indian cricket players, scored around 7,000 runs in Test cricket. And only Gavaskar was ahead of him before Tendulkar came into the scene. And India has never lost a match when he scored a century. One of the most stylish batsmen. And when I was a young boy, we went to watch a match. India was playing England and it was considered as a golden jubilee of test match. India, I think, 50th match or something like that. Big match. Everybody wanted India to win. It was against England in Bombay. And Alan Knott was an English batsman. And he edged the ball. Wicketkeeper got the catch and India, Kapil Dev was the bowler. And everybody celebrated. Umpire gave out. And India was celebrating. Now they are going to win the match. And this batsman was so angry. He put the bat on the ground and he made some faces and he walked out. And Gundappa Vishwanath was the captain. He said, "What happened? Why didn't hit the ball?" And they were talking like this. "No, asa galat decision the umpire." He said, "Really? You didn't hit the ball?" He said, "No." "Okay, bat again." So players could overrule the umpire's decision. So he overruled the decision and everyone was aghast. "Are, kya kar raha hai?" And the umpire said, "Okay, if you have no problem, I have no problem." So this fellow came to bat and guess what? And then he went on to bat so well that they won the match. And everybody came cursing home. "Kya hai, itna stupid, he should have, you know, he was out. Umpire ne bhi out diya." So then I remember my father telling me, "Are, it's a cricket match. Kuchna, but seriously nahi lene ka." And at least his conscience is clear. And Vishwanath went on to say later on that my conscience told me that, you know, he was not out. And he's also saying, "To ek chance de do, haar gaya to haar gaya, golden jubilee to kya hua?" You know, it's not a big deal. What I'm saying is a simple thing. It's a simple thing in life. These are small pleasures in life. And this means a lot. You know, you don't have to do big things to live a life of integrity. Sometimes in small things we cheat. And we don't even realize that small things make up our character eventually. And then eventually a time comes when lying becomes a habit. I had a friend in college. He would lie just for the heck of it. Like, he would call up from the PCO and his mother, he would tell his mother, "Mummy, main movie dekhne ja raha hun." And he would be coming to my house to study. I would say, "Aisa kyun bol raha hai? Nahi, aisi maza aata hai." And next day he would go for a movie, he would call up his mother and say, "Main iske ghar pe padhai karne ja raha hun." Jhoot bolne ka, har cheez mein jhoot bolne ka. So, small things add up. And we're not able to live a life of giving. We're not able to lead a life, happy, contented life. And there has been research done on this. There is a very famous Wharton Business School professor, Adam Grant. He wrote a book called Give and Take. Now, he is not a Hare Krishna devotee, mind you. And you know what he says? Because you see him bald, you may think, "Hey, Hare Krishna wala hai." And now when you hear his teachings, you will think, "Arey, to Hare Krishna wala hi bol raha hai." Because what he did, he took last 300, 200 years of all different successful business people, leaders of the world, and he saw the pattern. He studied. And there's a whole team in Wharton Business School. And he's been given the award of the best professor. Wharton Business School is arguably one of the best in the world. And he's been given the award of the best professor for last 5 years. And this book, Give and Take, is in the New York Times bestsellers list for last 6 years. And he proves through statistics in his book that there are three kinds of human beings in this world. First are takers. They only think what I can get in this world. Kidhar se kya milega? Takers. And second, he says, are people who are called as matchers. They take only as much as they can give. They always see balance ho raha hai kya. And third, he says, are those kind of people who are givers. They always think how I can give back more than what I am receiving. And he proves that who are the most successful people? Givers. It's amazing. And I was thinking that only we in Hare Krishna talk like this, but he proves with so many examples starting from Abraham Lincoln and so many big corporates, what are the principles of their life, how they led their lives. Therefore, our whole focus in today's presentation is, let us make our lives rich by connecting to ourselves, you know, developing clarity of thought, and living a life centered on pleasing others. Srila Prabhupada and his devotees, you see in this kirtan, this is George Harrison. Srila Prabhupada taught us that if we feel rich with Krishna, we can always bring a positive transformation in this world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in 1896 predicted that very soon a time will come when Europeans, Americans, Africans, they will all come together and chant the holy names of Krishna. And in 1975, when Srila Prabhupada was in Mayapur, and American devotees, African devotees, everybody was there doing kirtan, Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes, and he said, this was predicted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He said, the devotees who are deeply connected to Krishna, they can bring about a positive transformation in this world. Because when we connect to God, when we feel loved by God, then we cut across all these barriers. Because one of the biggest bonding factors in this world is the relationship of fraternity, brotherhood, which we want, but that can happen if we accept God, if we connect to God. Like in Bollywood, you know, when we were young, this was a typical scene. Hero and other hero, they would fight, and just at the end of the movie, whole movie they would be fighting. But before, just when the movie would start, they would actually be brothers, but they would be separated. And they don't know that they are brothers. And then something would happen, and the final scene.
What happened?
Yeah. So two brothers. So just when the scene is happening, and the fellow is about to kill him, suddenly, what does he realize? Hare? Nishan? Mera bhi Nishan. हम दोनों भाई एंड सडनली देयर एनिमिटी स्टॉप्स. देखा ऐसा मूवी पहले आता था, अभी पता नहीं आता है कि नहीं. व्हेन आई वाज अ यंग बॉय आई यूज्ड टू वॉच एंड आई यूज्ड टू वॉच. अरे क्या हो गया, कैसे बदल गए, अभी भाई भाई हो गए. क्यों? दे रियलाइज दैट हम लोग भाई है, हमारा पिता है, सेम फादर. सो दिस व्हाट हैपेंस विद डिवोटीज ऑल्सो. When we come to Hare Krishna, we start chanting Hare Krishna deeply, then we look at others, we can immediately see the connection of that person with also Krishna. Hare, he is also part and parcel of Krishna. Mamevamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Krishna says, aham bija pradapita, I am the father. So Hare Krishna helps us connect to each other, helps us to see our divine father, helps us to become an instrument of love. So Krishna consciousness process which Srila Prabhupada has given us is very practical. And especially when we connect and when we give, try this, even if you reluctantly give, even if you are not happy giving, but when we give, slowly, slowly you realize that you actually feel very rich. I'll give a simple example. When I joined the ashram, my house was close by at Cuff Parade. So my mother would come every weekend, she would come with a bag of mangoes and give me. And you know, in India, people love mangoes, most people. So, and I had a small locker. And I would keep these mangoes inside my locker. And when nobody would be around, I would take out one. And I would eat and I would feel very happy. And every week she would get. And I would eat and I would find the mango very sweet. And we just had one small locker. And one day what happened, she had just bought mango and kept it in my locker and there was nobody around. And I took out one mango. And I was about to eat and I sat on my locker. And suddenly another brahmachari came from there. And I said, "Arey, kya, mango?" And now, in the spur of that moment, not that I wanted to give him, but oh, wo samne tha, haath mein mango hai, aur bol bhi raha hai, mango. So, I just said, aap lenge, mango. So he said, aapke liye hai? I said, hai. Then I just picked out another one, as if that was the only other mango left. And I said, mere paas bhi ek hai. Oh, good, good, then we can eat. So then he started eating. And I was so grateful that, chalo, ek mere paas to hai ek. Only, I had to give up only one. And then I was about to eat, another devotee brahmachari came. Kya, Prabhuji, mango party chal raha hai? I said, aap lenge kya? Why not? Usne bhi le liya. And then immediately, then he said, arre, par aapke liye, I said, hai na. Then I removed another mango. And suddenly two brahmacharis came. And in 5 minutes, the whole bag was out. And we were around 7 or 8 of us. Everyone was eating a mango and oh, 10 minutes mein itna hansi mazak hua, itna laughter, and then for 10 minutes everything was over, everybody washed their hands, everybody left. And after they left, I sat down and I saw the whole bag was empty, locker was empty, and then I sat and I said, "Arey, mango to every time I eat, every time it is sweet, but today it's tasted the sweetest. What happened? All the mango is over, but I'm feeling most happy." It was not that I wanted to serve. I'm just saying, it happened.
And then I realized, wow, in just giving, although reluctant, I could feel so happy. And then I shared it with my friend, my dear friend and guide, Gaur Gopal Prabhu. When I told this to him, Gaur Gopal Prabhu immediately said a very beautiful statement, which is etched in my heart deeply. He said, there are two kinds of philosophies in this world. One is called the candle philosophy, and the second is called the ice cream philosophy.
Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Nitai Gaur Chandra Shri Gopal Ji Ki. Jai.
What are the two philosophies? Candle philosophy and? What is candle philosophy? He said, candle philosophy means, ice cream philosophy, he said, is simple. Enjoy before it melts. Life is going to end any time. Before that, enjoy. And candle philosophy is? It melts. Bring light before it melts. Candle also melts, ice cream also melts. But there's a big difference, right? So we can choose either to make our lives centered on which philosophy? Candle philosophy or the ice cream philosophy. So now last 5 minutes I will take, but I just want to, before we go into the tools, which is very, very simple, but the principles once again I would like to remind. First is clarity.
Please put the slide, Prabhu.
Clarity, which is understand, contribute, service, connect, appreciate. You know, once I was giving a class, somebody said, accept, accept, bol rahe aap. Do we accept the terrorists also? I said, I don't understand the principle that I'm saying. See, accept means, you know, what Srila Prabhupada taught us. Srila Prabhupada was a very fearless preacher. You see this photograph of Srila Prabhupada, he's laughing with his devotees. He's encouraging them. He would always say, you know, if you hate somebody because he hates you, then you are also sharing the same disease. Now you may say, does that mean we don't fight with the terrorists? No. We confront them, but we don't kill them because we hate them. We accept the principle of life and we do our duties. See, just like, it's like Ram's army and Ravan's army. There is a big difference. Ram's army, during Hanuman bought, the medical herbs, right? You know the pastime? When he bought Sanjeevani, and the fragrance of that woke up Ram and Lakshman, and the fragrance went everywhere, and all of Ram's soldiers also came back to life. But, you would say, acha, fragrance sab soldier aa gaye, but Ravana soldiers did not wake up. Why? Because Ravana's soldiers are not there on the battlefield. Whoever died, Ravana would dump their soldiers into the sea. Because he didn't want the enemies to see the soldiers. Because he thought if they see the soldiers, my soldiers, they'll get more confidence. So his philosophy was use and throw. Ram's army's philosophy was to respect, to accept. In fact, even when Ravan died, Ram cremated him with full honors. But he fought him also. See, same thing Indian army did during the Kargil war. Pakistan wanted to say that we have won the war. So they did not release the number of soldiers dead. Indian army released. They were waiting for Indian army to release. As soon as Indian army released, so they had this sick idea, crazy idea, that if we show less number of soldiers killed, that means we have won the war. So they waited. When India released their numbers, they released their numbers as 200 soldiers less. But in Pakistan, the people are shouting, where are our men? They have gone to fight. They have not yet come back. Kam se kam dead body to do. And Indian army is saying, ye sab lash aapka leke jao, because Pakistan lost at least 1,000 soldiers more than India. And Pakistan army is saying, ye amara soldier nahi. Typical, like Ravana's army. So then what Indian army did? Indian army flew the Muslim priests, Maulvis, from Delhi in helicopter to Kargil to perform the final rites with full honors for Pakistani soldiers. And these soldiers were rejected by their own countrymen. Abhi ye to phir bhi theek hai. Then Indian army sent a letter to Pakistan government that these following soldiers from your army fought very bravely. They deserve your, jaise hamara Paramvir Chakra hai, aapka bhi ek equivalent award hai. They deserve the highest military award for the bravery that they showed in the war. And because of the pressure from Indian government, Indian army, they had to give that award to their soldiers. What is the logic? अरे बेचारा सोल्जर, इसका क्या प्रॉब्लम है? ये तो इज नॉट अवर एनिमी. He is fighting as a duty. अच्छा fighting किया, उसको award दो. मारेंगे पर उसको हम. See, this is grounded on this principle which Lord Ram taught. Principle of acceptance, dignity of life. There is some dignity, you know. Our enemies are not the simple people in Pakistan, the neighboring country. They are also having same problems like us. खाना पीने का प्रॉब्लम है, बेटी का शादी का प्रॉब्लम है, पैसे का सेविंग्स नहीं. ISI, आर्मी, दे आर अवर एनिमीज, पॉलिटिशियंस. बट द पॉइंट आई एम ट्राइंग टू से इज डिग्निटी ऑफ. दैट्स वाई द ऑनरेबल प्राइम मिनिस्टर वाज गिविंग स्पीच आफ्टर द उरी अटैक, ही वाज टॉकिंग अबाउट पॉवर्टी, कृष्णा गोविंद. सो द पॉइंट इज अवर वी नीड टू रेस्पेक्ट लाइफ. वी नीड टू एक्सेप्ट द प्रिंसिपल ऑफ रेस्पेक्ट. यू नो दिस इज इंपॉर्टेंट. एंड शीला प्रभुपाद वाज अ फाइटर. Srila Prabhupada would fight against atheistic people, but he would love them also. There is one lecture he is saying, he is debating with the disciples, and he is saying, you rascal, and he is shouting at them. And then he is saying, but Swamiji, why do you call me rascal? And Prabhupada immediately says, because I love you. Because I love you, I want to help you. That's why I am chastising you. And Srila Prabhupada had amazing clarity. He knew this is International Society for Krishna consciousness. So many people said in America you should have International Society for God consciousness. People don't know about Krishna, you know. It's better to have secular word God. Prabhupada said they don't know. I'll tell them who is God. He had clarity. Complete clarity. And Srila Prabhupada could connect. He could connect to the hippies whom the American society had rejected. Srila Prabhupada could connect, and the hippies philosophy was don't trust anyone above 30 years of age. And here was Srila Prabhupada, was 70 years of age, and they had a big kirtan in an Avalon ballroom, discotheque. There they had a big kirtan program. Srila Prabhupada's kirtan program was arranged. 5,000 hippies were there dancing to rock music. Srila Prabhupada goes there to perform Hare Krishna Kirtan, and the organizers of that, Roger Hilliard and Von Meter, they were typical Americans who used strobe lights and all those hallucinating effects. And they met Prabhupada a few days before to know how to organize the hall, and they were amazed. They explained in Prabhupada Lilamrut that we thought this is some old Swami from India, but he knew everything. We could connect to him. He was talking to us so normally. Srila Prabhupada could connect to hippies. He could connect to a lord in England who was an 85, 90 year old man, not at all a devotee, but Prabhupada just charmed his heart. Recently I was hearing that conversation. Srila Prabhupada, that tremendous clarity of thought, he could connect to people, and he lived a life to contribute to others' welfare. Srila Prabhupada always said, I have come to America not to take, but to give. Srila Prabhupada would always appreciate devotees. Always. In fact, one boy was coming for Srila Prabhupada's program. He used to always dance in a very narcissistic way, egocentric way. And he would sit right in the front during the class of Srila Prabhupada. And he would sleep in the class. And sometimes he would snore in the class. Right in the front. And that sound would be picked up by the microphone. And after the class, Srila Prabhupada would say, any questions? And he would raise his hand. And when Prabhupada would answer, and then he would say, no! He would shout. A very crazy fellow. And devotees were disgusted with him, but Prabhupada always appreciated. Prabhupada accepted him, gave him shelter. And eventually what happened? When the kirtan started, he used to dance wildly, and devotees told Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, he's little bad. Prabhupada said, no, he dances like Lord Chaitanya, very nice. there was one disciple who had some bad past, some mistakes he had done before becoming devotee. So the police caught up with him, and then he had to go to some jail for some time. So Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to jail because, you know, I had some bad dealing. Prabhupada said, what dealing? Prabhupada, you know, I used to deal with drugs earlier. Oh, no problem. Go to jail, no problem. So drugs, you know, even I was in pharmaceutical business. That was also drugs only. So, no problem. He made him feel so comfortable. And then Prabhupada said, what is the punishment? No, they'll put me in jail for 7-8 months. So that's okay. Krishna was also born in jail only. So Prabhupada made him feel so comfortable. Gave him that confidence. And that's how he could transform the hearts of millions of people. Because his life was centered on these three sacred principles of clarity, connection and contribution. So therefore, I would like to now, last 2-3 minutes, take these tools which I am practicing. These are the 6 tools by which you could develop clarity, a sense of contribution and connection. Again, I want to make a very important point. This may not necessarily work for you. You can try your own, but this works for me. What is the first? Awareness. Awareness means?
Being present. Being present means just be here now. Don't think of your college or office right now. Don't think of anything else. See, many times for clarity, we need to just depend on this principle. Just be aware. When you're taking food, be present. Allow your senses to feel. Many times for clarity, we depend on other things. Like we depend on astrologers, vastu, media, analysts, financial analysts. We look at others. There is a power within you. You know, astrologers, sometimes we go to astrologers to understand ourselves. I'm not saying astrology is good. It's a science. But, अरे आप अपने ऊपर भी थोड़ा भरोसा रखो. Astrologer कितने इंडिया में? There are 5 lakh successful astrologers. And none of those astrologers could predict what Narendra Modi did. ऐसा क्या हुआ? Prime Minister ने, अभी इतने astrologers किसी ने predict नहीं किया? India is famous for astrology. क्यों नहीं कर पाए? क्योंकि you can't depend on these things. We have to be centered. Media, you can't depend on media. मैं क्या करूं? Media, अलग, सब लोग अलग-अलग बोलते हैं. You see now, Z News will say, oh, line में लोग खड़े हैं, सब खुश हैं. आज तक will say, थोड़ा-थोड़ा तकलीफ हो रहा है लोगों को. NDTV channel will say, लोग line में खड़े हैं, उनकी मौत हो रही है. and दूरदर्शन will say, ना सब normal चल रहा है. So whom to believe? You can't believe. You can't believe media. You can't believe astrologers. And financial analysts. You see, all financial analysts are talking. I am from finance background. And we used to have a joke in college. Financial analyst means those who simply tell you tomorrow that what they predicted yesterday, why it did not happen today. That is a financial analyst. So these people cannot help us. Ultimately, we have to connect to ourselves. We have to be present. And the second technique which I try is to practice pranayama, breathing, normal breathing. Acha, simple question. If you ask how many of you breathe, everybody says, breathing is normal. But we are breathing to survive. We are not breathing to thrive. Which means many of us don't know how to breathe. When you breathe in, when you inhale, what happens to your stomach? It goes in or comes out? When you inhale, comes in. How many of you feel it comes in? How many of you feel it goes out? It remains same. It remains same. Okay. When you inhale, the stomach comes out or goes in? Look, I am hearing both. Can you hear both? In and out. Look, I can hear both. Wherever I have spoken this, everywhere they say. Inhale matlab andar jana chahiye. Nahi nahi Prabhu, inhale matlab bahar aana chahiye. Matlab, one party is wrong. That means in basic breathing, we don't know how to breathe. So tonight when you are sleeping, put your hand on your stomach and slowly breathe and find out kya hota hai. And then you'll make a major discovery. Arre, aaj tak main breathing bhi nahi karta tha. So for those of you who don't know, when we breathe in, stomach naturally comes out. Simple. For हम लोग इतना complicated हमारा life that we are not conscious. So when we do conscious breathing, just try conscious breathing, you will suddenly feel clarity. ऐसा clarity आएगा आपको. बोला अरे ये you will feel as if some magic has happened. ये कोई बड़ा magic का जरूरत. Simply breathing, you will feel magical in your life. For these are simple things, you know. Srila Prabhupada said, life is very simple. Krishna consciousness is very simple. We unnecessarily complicated it. For this is B. C is chanting, which is also called prayers. Spending some time in front of the deities, offering heartfelt prayers, helps us connect. And D is for diet, which means prasad. Just watch what you eat. Chew it nicely. Eat food that is healthy, not too rich and spicy, that which doesn't agitate your... Yesa ann, vaisa man. You know, ye sab kaisa hai na? There's no point giving a lecture on this. You just try. Try eating decent food, proper food at nice time. I don't know if you have experienced it. Sometimes you may eat just 2-3 chapatis. 2 chapatis with sabzi, slowly chewing it, nicely feeling, and you feel much more nourished in that than eating a big feast when you are completely absent. Have you experienced it ever?
There are some simple things which help us connect. So, and E is for exercise. Exercise means physical, workout. Some yoga, some exercise. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, health first, sadhana, and then service. So health is important. And finally, F is for free writing, which unfortunately I don't have time to share. This is an exercise called journal writing. And I could share it in some other forum. When we write journals, when we write diaries every day, that exercise of free writing helps us connect to ourselves in ways beyond imagination. You will be amazed at what you discover when you write a letter to Lord, or when you write journals. Just like chanting is non-different from who? Holy name is non-different from Krishna. Journal writing is non-different from you. When you write, you feel you have met whom? You feel you have met yourself. So it's a wonderful exercise. It's a guaranteed tool for connection and feeling of clarity. You will develop clarity and connection immediately. And then you will realize that you could try one exercise. You could try maybe tomorrow or tonight if you have time. Write one page. These are the people I thank in my life. Starting mein boring lagega, kya likh raha hu. Mere ko thank you bolne ka. Are, people should thank me. I am doing so much. But just try thanking some people. And at the end of it, you will feel that 10-15 minutes is less. So free writing is a great tool and it's a wonderful subject which I don't have time to now talk in detail. But I request you to pursue this. It helps us go deeper, explore areas which were unknown to us and discover a wonderful person, and that is you. So I would like to summarize. There are our main presentation today was broadly divided into two. One was principles and second was truths. Okay, now I want to ask, what is the first principle? Somebody raise your hand if you know the answer. What is the first principle we discussed today? Yes. Clarity. Clarity means understand. What is the second principle? Contribution means service. What is the third principle? Connect. Connect means accept or also appreciate. And then after this principles, we also discussed tools. What is the first tool? Awareness means present. Right? What is the second tool? Breathing, which means pranayam. Third? Chanting, prayers. Fourth? Diet, which means prasad. Fifth? Exercise, which means physical workout. And last? Free writing, also means pen down, writing journals. So I invite all of you to practice these three sacred principles, and these six tools may help you to practice these principles, but I want to request you to trust yourself and discover some new tools, better tools, and share it with me. It may help me also. But principles are sacred, and I thank you for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you, Rajivari, for an amazing talk on these principles of succeeding, the three C's and the six P's. And hopefully you will apply this, and also feeding us those mangoes of giving. So let us thank Rajivari by loudly chanting, Hribo! Hribo! And if you want to have more talks by Prabhuji, they are available on yogaformodernage.com. And if any of you want to attend his talks, if you are staying in Malad, Kandivali or Borivali, Neil Krishnapu will be standing down. You can contact him for attending those talks there. I'd like to thank our special guests that have come today for this Prerna festival by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And also those boys who might have dropped into the Prerna Youth Festival for the first time. So those who have come for the first time, you can kindly stand in your places. My God, in times of financial recession, we have a lot of hope. Looking. So, I'd like to thank all these boys for coming, taking out your time for attending this talk, and hopefully this will be a beginning of the new journey. And in the coming years, especially next year, be in touch with us, attend these festivals regularly. So, I'd like to thank and welcome all these first timers to our Prerna Youth Festival by loudly chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So there is a special gift for all of you downstairs in Bhaktivedanta Hall, where you will be also served dinner. So you can meet our volunteers there and take the gift. Please be seated. Some more announcements before we take one or two questions by